Welcome to Inspiration at Work, where you will hear from business leaders from around the world on what they are doing at work and through work to make the world a better place. This is the most positive talk radio show on the planet, where we have evicted the tenets of cynicism and criticism and set up residence on Inspiration Boulevard, right in the heart of Atlanta, Georgia. And now, your host, America's Chief Inspiration Officer, Terry Barber.
Welcome to another episode of Inspiration at Work. We have quite a lineup again for you today. And I have to tell you, when you do a show called Inspiration at Work, there's never a bad show. And so we've got another incredible show. And I want to also welcome, for the very first time, my co-host, none other than also someone who happens to be very, very close to me, my oldest daughter, Brittany Barber. Say hi, Brittany.
Hello.
And it's nice to have you on as co-host as we today share our time with our good friend Tamara O'Neill, president of Career on Course. She's a professional consultant and coach who specializes in career transition and executive development. But my favorite kind of word that you use about yourself, my favorite metaphor for yourself, Tamara, is campaign manager. So thank you for being here. And as we start the show, I want to know, what in the world does campaign manager have to do with helping someone get on course?
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here. And that's an interesting question. The campaign manager metaphor actually came from a client. Because as I was working with the client, he said, Tamara, you know what you're really doing for me? You're really helping me as my campaign manager. And I had this aha moment because my undergraduate work, I have a degree in communication arts where I studied rhetoric, persuasion, public speaking, argumentation and debate, all the studies to become a manager for political figures. So, aha, that was my aha moment for me.
Very interesting. So you brought what you learned out of political kinds of background into the world of business and work.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you.
So you are clearly a free agent.
Yes.
In other words, you have to go make your own rain. And you weren't always a free agent, though. Tell us how you got on this path.
My career started working with very large companies and their subsidiaries, working with Bristol-Myers, a Sara Lee company, and an AT&T company. I worked with very large organizations. And in sales, and I produced, and I did what I was supposed to do and met achieved objectives. But I was always what they wanted me to be. And I finally have been able to realize my dream. I started my company in 2005 to be able to deliver the gifts that I have to make a difference in this world.
And so now, fast forward, it's hard to believe. It's been almost 6 years later.
Yes.
And you have clearly been able to do some things that are really very successful in the work that you're in. But when you were first starting, were there certain points in time along the way when you were just a little bit fearful about what would happen in the future, jumping out on your own? Were there concerns, or did you just like find it from within and you just couldn't resist? You didn't have a choice anymore.
I was able to come from working within this industry so that I did develop some experience to understand what the traditional outplacement companies do, what they do well, and where their gaps. So that gave me an understanding of how they serve the volume and to understand that there's a way to provide a better service to the individual. So when I got out there, I knew what I was doing, and I was ready to do it.
And it was burning inside.
Yes.
There was no turning back.
Tamara, I want to backtrack for a minute. When you said that you started a company that would bring your gifts into the world, what are those gifts?
I, it's taking the time. I love it. This is very difficult for me to be the speaker today because I tend to be the listener. And I tend to listen and observe and get to know another individual and help and then work with them to understand what their values are, what gets them up in the morning, what their burning drivers are, what they bring to the table, and then help package them.
And you have, through the years, encountered some great people as a client base. And consequently, you have a lot of inspiring stories. Would you mind sharing with us maybe one or two of those kinds of stories that people could relate to?
Sure. I think one of the most inspiring story that I can think of was that I worked with a person who was a consultant for a large human capital services firm. He had been with the organization for over 20 years. Their department was eliminated. He lost his job. Before meeting me, he started interviewing with other companies in that space. And actually, one company picked his brain for 3 months. Finally, he got to the top of their interview cycle, and he was interviewed by an organizational psychologist. And the first question from the organizational psychologist was, "How old are you?" Well, this gentleman's in his 60s, and he was trying to figure out what to do, and he answered it. After the interview, he never heard back from the company. No one returned his calls. Everything just went dark. And he pretty much hit bottom. He didn't know what to do. He figured he was done with the industry. The client was referred to me, and we started working on what he had done within his career to make a difference. We did assessments. We reviewed his career accomplishments, and he began to have a better understanding of his value proposition. We mind mapped different career options for him, and we finally got to this place where he was emotionally ready to reengage in the job search process. I actually found a job lead that really looked like it was right up his alley, and he said, "Tamara, I'm all over this." So we went after the job, and I say we because we are accountability partners. We work together. And I made introductions. He was able to start the interviews. Well, in 11 weeks, he had 13 interviews. And within those 11 weeks, we had to strategize. We had the research, the networking. We had to strategize on every single interview that he was going to have. And he was finally given an offer. And with that offer, we negotiated a package. And for this person, he accepted a position as a practice leader in his space. And he more than doubled his salary and received a very lucrative annual bonus plan.
Wow. And this is coming from an individual who had basically been so-called rejected by a former company, then pretty much hit rock bottom at certainly at an emotional level, and their life was turned around. Now, were there certain attributes within this person that you totally recognized and you applauded?
It's interesting. We did. I usually do some assessments, and one of the assessments that I took, he actually tested out very closely to my profile as well. So I.
No wonder you liked him.
No, I tend to. He had to have a better understanding of self and what he brought to the table, and how he could make a difference with an organization, and he just needed to get his mojo back, and we did it.
So, Tamara, for those of us who are unfamiliar with Career on Course, let's clarify. You package and brand individuals, is that right?
Yes.
Is that what you're saying?
Yes. So what I do is I help individuals understand their strengths. And it's interesting. We just had the Ken Blanchard conversation where he talked about, "I know what I know." And what I try to do is help clients understand what comes easily to them and discover ways to leverage those strengths that can benefit their friends, their business, and their communities. And that's basically some of the things I did when I started leveraging that communication arts degree and how I could use it in the work that I'm doing now.
So do they take a Myers-Briggs test or?
There's several different assessments that could be done. I tend to use a lot the Hogan, where we look at their strengths and we look at where you can leverage your, push your strengths too far, where they can become your weaknesses. I use the DISC as well. But there's a lot of different assessments, and it just depends on what's important to help us. It's a tool to help us get where we want to go with a client.
So I know you. I like working with you, Tamara. Do other people enjoy working with you?
It's got to be fun. I mean, this is it's a very tough time, no doubt. People are, they can have their world turned upside down. But it's time to look at this as an opportunity of what's next. And so many times as we work together and we explore those opportunities and we try to, you know, have a good time at doing that, people realize that there's a better place on the other side.
Well, I say all that simply to say and make the point that I believe that if I had found myself in that position, you would certainly be one I would look to, because you really do have the capacity to see what is possible in people. It's a real gift that you have.
Thank you. And that's one of the things, and when I work with people, you know, a lot of my work comes from working with from corporations. And I will tend to have probably some insight into that person about maybe, you know, why they weren't a fit in the organization at the time. And you have to understand, when a person comes into an organization, for instance, I had a CEO and he was working for a startup, and he had specific skills needed when he went into startup mode to build an organization. But then the organization got to a place where it was becoming more mature and they needed processes. His strengths were not developing those processes. His was building. So it was time for him to make a move. And what I did was help him move to where he could use those strengths of building to another situation.
I remember a story you shared with me not long ago about a company mm-hmm. who had a client for you, mm-hmm. and they wanted just to fill your brain with all the negative, all the critical, all the things that weren't right about this person.
Well, that's my point. And see, in the company's eyes, he wasn't a process person. But see, he wasn't hired to be the process person. He was hired to build. So I did not want to get all hung up on the fact of what it was at the moment. It's what are the gifts that this person has to bring and to make a difference to an organization, and let's leverage those gifts. And so there has to be a win-win and a fit between where that person is and where they want to go.
And I think that is such an affirming role to play with people, that you approach them with a clean slate. Mm-hmm. And uncover maybe some possibilities, some opportunities they have just totally lost sight of. You know, there are a lot of people out there in the workplace now who have just basically given up looking for work because they're so discouraged. What would you say to them?
Well, no doubt it is an absolutely tough time out there, and I think that people have to be prepared for rejection. But that being said, I have an old adage from my sales days that said you have to get 10 no's to get a yes. So you just have to keep going. One of the things that can be very helpful for a person is to have an accountability partner, either an individual or go to a group perhaps to have that kind of help to stay motivated, to stay in the game. As well, you got to take care of yourself. So is it physically, spiritually, mentally, you know, yes, you're in the job search, but don't forget to get out there and take care of yourself as well.
Hey, you know, the other thing I like about you, Tamara, is that you're probably one of the most networked people that I know. You are really tied into the community. Tell me about your convictions about that and what you're doing.
Well, that all started because when I had this sales position that I talked about, I was traveling all over the country, and I had several bags packed in a week, and I was coming and going, and you know, didn't have time to really stay focused on my friends. Was actually going through graduate school at the time, so I had a very, very busy, very busy life. And finally, coming to Atlanta, I put a stake in the ground, and I said this was going to be home, and where I could build those relationships, because I had put all my efforts into selling in the corporate world, you know, but not helping to develop what I need, which is that sense of community. And that can be done here in Atlanta. And one of the ways that I started was when I got into this space, I joined SHRM Atlanta, the Society for Human Resource Management. And it has about 2,500 members. And to learn about their world, you know, I joined the association and then rolled up my sleeves to be a volunteer. And what a better way than to be able to meet people and work side by side towards an effort that that is in alignment with your goals.
What a great story, though, because you did literally begin within SHRM as a volunteer.
Yes.
And now it's 2011, and if I'm not mistaken, you are the acting president of SHRM Atlanta.
That is true, and I'm delighted and happy to be able to do that. And the way that I started, absolutely, I was I started as a volunteer leveraging skills. I started out as sponsorship development. So I had years of having $400,000 to bring in as a volunteer for the organization, and I did that for many years and learned it inside and out. And what happened was we recognized that there were a lot of human resource professionals that had lost their jobs and they weren't getting any help. And we had someone in town, a dear friend of mine, Mike Esposito, that brought to our attention we should be doing something about it. So we put together a task force, and very quickly, within several weeks, we put together a whole day workshop for HR practitioners who were out of work. And all of the resource partners or vendors, we all rolled up our sleeves, and we helped everyone in that group. And it was making such a difference to their lives and their jobs. But the point was is that the association recognized the leadership that it took to get this whole thing together, to bring this whole event together, and to serve 200 people successfully. And that observation led to the organization asking me for presidency. I would have never guessed that that's what it's all about. So for people to know that you are being observed and how to leverage your strengths.
What a great opportunity. Fantastic story for anyone who's looking to get into leadership position to be able to start in a way that pretty much, as Ken had mentioned in the first part of the show, which is all about just serving.
Yes.
So well done on your part.
Thank
what
you.
I say. Tamara, is there a website that we can refer people to?
My website is www.careersoncourse.com.
Fantastic. And a phone number, please.
404-731-1579.
I hope you get bombarded with calls and requests.
Well, thank you. I just love the work that I do. I love to see the individual come in and start that transition and where they blossom and bloom to understand what gifts they have and land the job of their dreams. And we do that.
What a great promise. Well, thank you so much, Tamara, for being on our show today, and we wish you all the best. And as always, we just encourage you to keep on inspiring, doing the things that you're doing.
Well, thank you, Terry and Brittany.
And Brittany, thanks for being my co-host today.
Yeah. Tell your guests that there's an opera coming out. It first premiered in Little Rock and will be in New York in the spring called Billy Blythe. Story of Bill Clinton as a boy.
We will want to know more about that. I guarantee it. We'll have a special segment just to talk about that opera. You've been listening today to Inspiration at Work with my guest, Tamara O'Neill. And we just hope and we pray that you will go out and you will make it a great day. And on top of it all, best of all, keep on inspiring.
have been listening to Inspiration at Work on the GII Network with your host, Terry Barber. Find us on the web at www.inspirationboulevard.com and follow us on Twitter at Inspiration Boulevard.